There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. And it is the Spanish Grand Prix F1 Driver Ratings Edition. We are here to reflect some more on the Catalunya action, Tommy.
Are you
enthralled for this one?
There's a lot of pit stops and a lot of different strategies that's going to take some working out, this one.
It certainly is. Before we start working it out, let's share a 5-star review. This one comes in from Ben Bryant 26 from Great Britain. And Ben's really decided to go fully detailed with this one. So just, you know, buckle yourselves in. They know wheel. It's good. Thumbs up emoji. There you go. Look, simple, sweet, effective. Love to see it. Thank you, Ben. If you want your 5-star review read out, then please submit it via Apple Podcasts, maybe Google.
I think you might be able to use Google as well.
Basically, anything that isn't Spotify, you can leave a review. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know why. And we will try and include yours next time. Okay, let's get into driver ratings then, shall we? And let's begin where we always begin, with Logie Sarge. Started from the pit lane, finished 20th. It's going to be a 2 out of 10 for Logan Sargeant. I'm going to give him a point for, well, I was going to say for not binning it. He did actually bin it during the weekend, but not aggressively binning it. But apart from that, the most anonymous weekend, I think, so far for Logan Sargeant. Off the pace, just, it wasn't even like his strategy was pathetically bad. He started on the mediums, which, to be fair, only the other Red Bulls did, so didn't allow him to really go on too much of the attack, but then stuck a couple of hard tyres on throughout the race and just had no pace.
He did not. I've gone for a 3 out of 10. He was easily beaten by Albon, which I guess is expected, and that race really did look like Williams are the worst car again. No surprise after seeing that flaw on social media.
Yeah, the floor on social media, if you haven't seen it, you know, you've got the Red Bulls, the Ferraris, the Mercedes that have such intricate designs, little winglets, whatever, you know, I don't know what they're called. They're not winglets, but you know what I mean. And then Williams is essentially just it's kind of, yeah, just like a flat piece of floor. Of plastic.
And you go, that's why they're last.
That's where the pace has gone, because of course, these new regulations, the floor is a massive part of the car's design and to produce that extra bit of downforce. Okay, well done, Logan, although I probably wouldn't say well done too much. We now go to Alex Albon, started 18th, finished 16th.
Gone for a 6 out of 10 for Albon. Not much to say, really. He's just driven a car that's not very good to be all right, but not particularly special. I think this weekend, Williams really struggled and Alex wasn't able to put that Williams in crazy places like he has done in some of the other races. So, yeah, just 6 out of 10.
I've also gone for a 6 out of 10 for Alex. He didn't finish last. He beat Magnussen and Bottas, which, you know, I'm sure he'll be so proud of that coming home after this weekend. And yeah, it does genuinely look like Williams have fallen off a cliff and haven't been able to upgrade or really move forward with their car. And, you know, they're a team that don't have the dollar bills to just throw at this car. So, yeah, a shame, because Alex had some decent results already this year and kind of showed some kind of promise. But yeah, it's not looking good. Speaking of not looking good, Nyck de Vries started 14th, finished 14th. So he spun twice in qualifying in the same part of the track, got away with it both times. But apart from that, again, it obviously, when you look at it on paper, you go, ah, well, you know, Tsunoda finished 12th and De Vries finished 14th. Not really, because Tsunoda obviously picked up that penalty. I've gone for a 4 out of 10. I should probably say that. I don't know if I actually said it. I can't remember if I said it. But it's just a meh weekend for De Vries. Not showing enough promise or push forwards towards the points that AlphaTauri need, where Tsunoda is showing that this is possible.
Yeah, I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Nick De Vries. Just an average performance. At least he's not kind of binning it in the race or done anything particularly bad. It was just kind of a normal performance. But I am starting to think you're going to have to start beating Yuki in some of the races now, like looking like you're quicker than him. And that's not the case at the moment.
Certainly not, especially around a track like Spain that is very much, you know, it's a traditional racetrack. There's no excuses. It's just all about confidence in the car. And yeah, just not been close enough yet. Let's see if that changes as we go to Canada in a couple of weeks. Yuki Tsunoda started 15th, finished 12th.
Pain. I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Yuki. Another brilliant drive taken away from him. Personally, I think the penalty was a bit harsh. I don't think we've really spoken about that in the race podcast yet, but maybe it's just my bias showing, but I think that was a little harsh. Yes, he's pushed Zhou Guanyu wide, but I think that's a move that Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, Perez have done a million times and got away with. But this time they've decided to penalize Yuki, and it's a very harsh penalty to knock him way down the order rather than maybe just giving up a place to Zhou Guanyu because it's cost him even more. So yeah, gutted for him, but still another good drive and putting that AlphaTauri in great places. He'll just be wishing that there were more points on offer because he'd have loads by now.
Yeah, absolutely. Another what could have been for Yuki. It's interesting because they have tweaked the overtaking rules in recent times. So there are certain variables that have been changing in there, which is, it's just difficult when you compare instances from years gone by and you go, well, why was there no penalty for this? But there was a penalty for this and there was a penalty for this. When you actually look at it on paper, Zhou is there. He deserves space. Tsunoda didn't give it to him. I feel as though on the flip side of that, Zhou bails very quickly. Although I suppose he does sense Tsunoda with his brake dust flying up, coming straight towards him. I can see where the stewards have given him a 5-second penalty because, you know, Zhou, as I say, deserved that piece of tarmac. It was never going to happen because Tsunoda went in a little bit hot. He had to bail. And then from there on, I don't think he could actually challenge, could he, Zhou, after that? So that was his one opportunity. Of course, you know, that part doesn't get taken into account when it comes to penalties. It did seem harsh. I don't know. I just feel like it's very much, it could have gone one way or another. And of course, we all feel quite sorry for Yuki as well, I would say. I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Yuki. I think if I was to give it a percentage, I think 60% is like, I don't think he should have got a penalty, but 40% of me understands that, yes, that when you look at the rule book, that is kind of what it says in the sense of Zhou deserved that space. So tough because Yuki genuinely really deserved it. It was Yuki versus Zhou, both having amazing performances. So it's great to see them both fighting for points. But yeah, I think in those positions, I would like to see the stewards, the FIA, get on the blower and say, Yuki, you've run him off the track. You have to relinquish the position.
Yeah, that's much
more fair,
in my opinion. I
don't think 5-second penalties for that. There was no contact. So I feel like, yeah, that was too harsh. But I also feel like Zhou deserved the position. So that's, I think, how you fix that, no?
Yeah, he's unlucky as well that essentially he's got a 5-second penalty, which for a lot of drivers on the grid doesn't matter a lot because they often have 5-second gaps. But Yuki managed to have, what was it, 3 or 4 cars behind him.
Dude, clinging on for dear life,
yeah,
wasn't he?
So it ended up costing a lot more. Well, it was 5 seconds, but it's 3 places. So not good. Good for
harsh,
him.
Harsh. We now go to Nico Hülkenberg. Started 7th, finished 15th. I've gone for a 5 out of 10 because I feel as though the qualifying was just an anomaly and something that he just did a really good job with, but falling back so far to 15th. We said it in the race podcast as well. It felt like he was always moving forward, and yet he finished 15th. He was making moves left, right, and centre. Haas were, you know, if you didn't have a position counter, you would be, you know, forgiven to mistake them being on the podium. You know what I mean? Like they were moving. Obviously, that was a little bit sarcastic there, but just not good race pace. Haas, they're just not. They're kind of a similar. They're similar to McLaren in the sense where, like, it was slightly difficult conditions. Hülkenberg really did a great job, but they just couldn't hold on when it came to Sunday. And yeah, 5 out of 10.
I've gone for a 6 out of 10 for Hulk. The qualifying was really good, but yeah, what are Haas doing at the moment in the races? They just look.
They did a three stop. Both of them did a three stop race. What are they doing?
I don't know, but no wonder they're finishing 15th. Not good.
Pain. Kevin Magnussen. No, I'm going to give Nico a 6 out of 10. I think that's fair. No, I think that's much nicer. Sorry, editor. 6 out of 10, because how dare I give him a 5 out of 10 for a shocking car and then qualifying 7th. 6 out of 10. Lovely. Kevin Magnussen started 17th, finished 18th.
I've gone for a 3 out of 10 for K-Mag here. Yeah, a lot slower in qualifying. I mean, 10 positions behind his teammate in qualifying is very poor. And then felt like he was overtaking cars as well, but just nothing in the race to only get, you know, only finish ahead of Bottas and Logie Sarge, was it? Yeah. Not a great race at all. And just, yeah, really, really poor from K-Mag.
I've also gone for a 3 out of 10 for K-Mag. Just, where is he? Like, why is he not showing up like Hulk was in qualifying this weekend? It just seemed as though there were a tale of two halves for a lot of the teams. You know, Sainz clearly figuring it out, Leclerc having problems, but also just not seeming to be there the entire weekend. And yeah, there's a few other, I suppose, who else could you say is like that? Ocon and Gasly, maybe. But yeah, either or, it just didn't seem to work out for K-Mag in these conditions in qualifying and also in the race as well. And yeah, it's not what I expected Haas to be doing at this stage of the year when they're known for falling away throughout the year.
They're meant to be good now. Yeah.
They're supposed to be good now and fall away later. Maybe they're falling away now in order to, you know, maybe pick up a few positions later on. We now go to Lance Stroll, started 5th. Finished 6th. I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Lance Stroll. I'm impressed. I think it's this grade is also considering how bad Monaco was as well. And to bounce back to qualify 5th, not make a mistake, finish 6th. Of course, he finished ahead of his teammate. And I see the Fernando Alonso fans very much out in force about, well, Alonso would have got him. Oh, he actually kind of technically finished 7th and he just gave up the position. Whatever. Fernando did say after the race he was maybe a tenth or two a lap quicker than Lance, and that doesn't guarantee that he's going to get through. We'll never know. Yeah, of course, Fernando stands, Tommy Wayne, one of them, will be like, yeah, he would have got him easy, Mike. Yeah, easy peasy. But Lance still had a very impressive performance, and maybe he can build from here now, going into his home race in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Alonso would have got him, wouldn't he? I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Lance. I think it was a good drive, but I don't think it was like a worldy drive. I think on paper you look at it and go, oh, 5th, qualified 5th, finished 6th.
He got up to P3 at the start. Give him some credit.
I know, but he ultimately dropped back, and I think Alonso showed the pace in that car at the end and maybe could have, you know, I think he would have got ahead of him. So it's definitely a much better drive to bounce back from, but I can't give it any higher than a 7. It's like a 7.5 for me, but I'm going for a 7.
That's fine. I'm giving him an 8 because I don't feel like I'll ever give him an 8 for the rest of the season. So, you know, I'm being generous. Okay, we now go to his teammate, Fernando Alonso. Started 8th, finished 7th.
I've gone for the same grade, 7 out of 10, finished together on the road. And Alonso would have beaten him in the race if he'd have passed him, but instead he was waving to the crowd. You can't separate them just because one's Fernando Alonso and one's Lance Stroll. Yeah, I know you will. But look, it's his own fault that he made a mistake in qualifying, which is what hampered him. So that's why he's getting a 7.
Interesting. Your fanboy is showing. I've gone for a 6 out of 10 for Fernando. I think it was a pretty disappointing weekend for him, making that crucial error in qualifying, which hampered his car for the entirety of it. And then he couldn't get any higher than, well, we qualified 9th, but obviously started 8th, and then just didn't really have the pace. I think considering he has consistently destroyed Stroll this year, I can't give him any higher than a 6, just because I think it was a relatively poor weekend for Fernando when you consider what he has been doing. 5 podiums this year. To finish 7th when I think there was definitely more on the table. Stroll showing that. Fernando, 6 out of 10. Now go to Valtteri Bottas. Started 16th, finished 19th. I've gone for a 2 out of 10 for Valtteri. The only reason it's not a 1, because I'm absolutely disgusted with how slow he is at the moment, is because he helped his teammates slightly. But the fact that he is slowing down the pack in order to help his much more inexperienced teammates, this is Valtteri Bottas. He's won races at Mercedes. He's out-qualified Lewis Hamilton. This man is just chilling now. He's putting more effort into his amazing appearance than he is on track, it feels like, at the moment. It just feels very calm, but too calm. Like, pick it up, Valtteri. Otherwise, just as Tommy said in the Twitch live streams, otherwise you're going to be wheeled off into a retirement home. Like,
yeah,
pick it up, Valtteri. You are a great driver. What is going on? You can't defend, but you are a great driver. You're great in qualifying. Sort it out.
Yeah, I have gone for 1 out of 10. It was just appalling. Fair. From Bottas. I mean, I think this is the third race this year where Bottas is looking like he's driving like an F2 car compared to the rest of the field. And it's just absolutely awful, just driving around at the back. I don't know what has gone on this season. Had that amazing performance in Bahrain where he put that car where it shouldn't have been. I said, did I not? I looked back at where we did the championship order. I put him, I think it was 16th in the championship or something. And you were like, what are you doing? And then he's got so many points from that first race. He's actually doing all right in the championship. And that's kind
of
saved him.
He's ahead of Yuki,
isn't he? Yeah, he is. And dare I say, I think if you actually average out, we'll do this halfway through the season. I think he's been one of the worst drivers of the season when you actually take an average. It's been awful. Really bad. God.
A newborn Valtteri hater in Tom Bellingham here. He's not happy, but neither of us are happy. This is it's not where he deserves to be. I don't think he's very strange. I'd love to know what is actually going on in his mind. We now go to Zhou Guan Yu. His teammate started 13th, finished 9th.
I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Zhou Guan Yu. I think it was the polar opposite to Bottas's performance. I think it was really good, showed good pace, overtook some cars. I think he had a great first race, didn't he, where he got some points, I think it was. But for me, that's a standout performance of his career so far. I think he really, to absolutely batter your teammate as well and get points in that car that we said that's just been so anonymous all the time. Well done, Jay.
Yeah, to make Bottas your like guinea pig for, is absolutely ridiculous to say out loud. I've gone for a 9 out of 10 as well for Joe. A great qualifying, a decent qualifying, and then made up solid positions in the race. Wasn't afraid to attack Yuki even when there was a couple of points on the line. And really, really decent performance from Zhou. He was looking very quick at the start as well. He was on the coattails of sort of the, I think it was Stroll and
he was. He was hanging on to the top teams.
Yeah, so very good performance from Zhou. We now go to Oscar Piastri. Started 9th. Finished 13th. I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Oscar. Ultimately didn't score any points. It wasn't the worst weekend ever, but it was more of a what could have been after both McLarens being in Q3. You go, maybe it's some points this weekend. And it just didn't work out for him at all. I don't know what it is about Piastri at the moment, because I genuinely do feel like he's building to something, but he just seems to fall short a lot of the time.
Yeah, I've gone for a 5 out of 10 as well. Completely agree. He's nearly there, isn't he? Like, he's got, we saw a glimpse of it. I know it's only like one bit of qualifying, but he was the only one that got near Max Verstappen in one of the sessions. I think it was Q1, where you're like, what a lap that is. And he's doing a lot better than what Ricciardo did against Norris. So he could be proud of that. But you're just waiting for that one really top performance where he puts in like a P6, P7, and sort of announces himself on the world stage. So at the moment, it's just not happening for him. So yeah, gone for a 5.
Announces himself on the world stage. Hello. God, Tommy, commentator. Lando Norris up next, started 3rd, finished 17th.
Ouch. Gone for a 3 out of 10. I think it's unfortunate, but it is his mistake. I have to give him props for that amazing qualifying, but he should have just thought about, you know, just be a bit more cautious at turn one. You've got the chance to get some really good points from McLaren that haven't got many this season, and to throw it all away right at the start, even though it is just a messy turn one incident. I think he is certainly has to put some of the blame on himself. And weirdly, I was looking at the results. This is the 4th time this year he's finished 17th. What a weird stat that is. Of all the places to finish, 4 17th places in 7 races. What a weird thing to happen. So yeah, not good for Lando.
Close your ears. Close your ears, McLaren fans. That is, that is hard reading, to say the least. Now, I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Lando because I'm not going to downgrade him as much for that lap one incident, just purely because qualifying was unbelievable. You know, that was an incredible result for him. And it was, I'm putting it down as just unfortunate for Lando for this weekend. He tried to just stick a nose. I do think he shouldn't have done it. And obviously in hindsight, it's a beautiful thing, but it was very unlucky. And then after that, of course, his race is screwed. He has to pit on lap one. He goes on the hard tires, and then he's pretty much doomed from there because the McLaren didn't have race pace. But I still think his qualifying performance definitely needs a shout out there and shows that he still got it when the car isn't completely the only factor, really, when it comes to, you know, a dry, bone dry qualifying. It's all about how the car's set up and, of course, the driver performing, but it's more leaned towards the car. But as soon as it's a bit slippery, it's all about driver feel. That's when Lando comes into his own. So, yeah, I'm going to give him a 5. It's straight down the middle. It's average. But, yeah, a very difficult weekend for him to digest, I'm sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We now go to Pierre Gasly. Started 10th, finished 10th, but he qualified all the way up in 4th, but then blocked everyone and therefore got 2 3-place penalties going into the race. I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Pierre. It kind of is a little bit like a Lando, where it's what could have been. Of course, he did score a point, which was, you know, a reasonable result. But he lost a lot of positions at the start, and then was able to eventually make up for that and score 1 point. But starting 4th, he could have easily beaten Ocon and sort of slotted in to where Ocon finished in eighth, I would say, if it wasn't for those mistakes in qualifying.
Yeah, I've gone for a 6 out of 10. It was a very good qualifying result, but just a shame that he blocked so many people to get two penalties. And then, yeah, Gasly's another driver that won what might have been in that race, but I feel like quite a few times this year we've seen that. So, yeah, not good.
Not good. Pierre Gasly? Why I just called your dog? I was going to say Frank, but said Pierre Gasly. Frank does not agree with whatever that was. In fact, Tommy is now going to go and speak to Frank to really tell him to not voice his opinion so loud next time whilst we're recording a podcast. So we're now in an interval. Tommy's left. Our next driver up is Esteban Ocon. If you want to go and get yourself as a drink, you know, keep yourselves hydrated. That's absolutely fine. I don't even know if this is making into the edit. Who knows? But I just want to say I love each and every one of you. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It definitely won't make the YouTube edit, but maybe it'll make the audio. So this is an exclusive love you to all audio listeners. And Tommy's back now.
Hello.
I was just saying that in the audio, this might stay in because who knows? They love little off the rails edits and or non-edits.
You calling Frank Pierre Gasly.
Yep, me calling Frank Pierre Gasly and then saying that we love each and every one of the audio listeners because this won't be going in the YouTube edit. So, yeah, cool. Right, Esteban Ocon started sixth, finished eighth.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Ocon. It's decent points, decent drive, but doesn't look as heroic when you've had an amazing podium at Monaco, does it? But it's just solid, like a good performance in an Alpine. It's about where that car should be. So, yeah, solid 7 out of 10.
I agree, 7 out of 10 for Ocon. I almost gave him a 6 out of 10, but I was like, it's still eighth. It's still a solid drive in the Alpine, but it's very difficult when you look at Monaco and you go, well, you know, that was unbelievable. But, yeah, it's still a decent drive for Ocon. Another solid points finish, and Esty Bestie is really doing a good job this year, I would say, so far. And he should be very proud of himself.
Do you want to talk about his move? Should we have a little chat about that little defensive move? It's just Esty Bestie doing Esty Bestie things, really. But surprisingly, Alonso didn't complain about it. I thought he'd be, wagging his finger, and particularly with it being an ex-teammate. But
I think the camera angles made it look worse than it actually was. When you look at the onboard, it was a consistent move from Ocon. It was late. It was, as Martin Brundle would say, it was a day late and a dollar short.
But, the old catchphrase.
I wouldn't say it was Max Verstappen, Kimi Raikkonen at Spa kind of levels, you know, where like a little, ooh, it was a consistent move. It was slightly late, sure. But if Alonso's not complaining about it, I ain't got a problem with it. You know what I mean? It's not like he's on the paycheck. And Alonso would happily probably throw Ocon under the bus now that,
absolutely.
He's driving for Alpine, of course. But he had no problem with it. So
he did throw Alpine under the bus because he was one of the people that was the stewards that got Gasly a penalty because he mentioned that they blocked Max, which was quite amusing.
I would like to put faith in the stewards that it wasn't just Alonso's reporting that
that
happened. But Fernando has so much mental capacity these days to watch races, to report to the stewards. This man is like mega mind. It's incredible. Let's now move to Lewis Hamilton. Started fourth, finished second. I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Lewis. Really strong race, showing that Mercedes has thrust itself into potentially the second fastest team again. It's constantly changing. Ferrari, Aston Martin, Mercedes. And it would be amazing if we could just ignore Red Bull. That would be what a championship fight that would be. But Red Bull are here. Verstappen has gone. He's finished the race 3 years ago. But Lewis did a great job. I think it's easy to get excited about how much Mercedes has moved forward, but Red Bull are still a lot further down the road. But Lewis seemed very happy after the race, and second is a great result and a double podium finish.
Yeah, I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Lewis. It's close to a 10, but I think he left some on the table in qualifying, and then you never know. You know, if he decided on the front row, I don't think he'd have beaten Max, but maybe, you know, dive bomb. Seeing them two going into that turn one again would have been quite something to behold. But it was a great drive. you know, the car's looking a lot better, and he just showed that he's still very much got the pace when he needs to. Great on his tyres, put in some good moves as well, and yeah, do really want to see them back challenging, because I think it does feel like Hamilton is that driver that can take it to Max. Like if that car was good, he is just like that consistent driver that I think would do it.
Yeah, it's funny that you say if Hamilton had been on the front row, what that would have looked like. I mean, if you put Hamilton in Carlos Sainz's position, I think Hamilton's going to try and swoop it around the outside. Carlos doesn't. Max Verstappen goes late on the brakes, bleeds off the brakes, runs wide, hits into Hamilton, and it's, you know, deja vu for the 100th time. Carlos obviously bailed out of it. And I've seen a lot of discussion online and on Twitter as well about Max Verstappen's driving style, defensive style, the way in which he defends positions. It is incredibly aggressive. Like watch that lap one, turn one, Max is not allowing Carlos to go round the outside in any universe. He is, and that's a mentality he has instilled in everyone else now. They know that Verstappen is not giving an inch. And it's funny how he's getting sort of some criticism for that. Oh, it's so aggressive. But yet Senna, Schumacher, all of these other great champions that are lauded for their amazing achievements did exactly the same thing.
Max is so much like Michael Schumacher, it's scary. Like the way he pushes the rules to the limit, we've seen it with everything. You know, he basically does something until they say, no, we can't do this now. And then he'll find something else. That's what Schumacher did. You know, the old Schumi chop that he used to do at the time. It was never, all the drivers complained about it, but it was never deemed like illegal. So it's like, well, of course, they're going to do it every time. And that's exactly what Max does, you know, pushes the rules until they basically go, no, you can't drive alongside someone in a safety car, and then he'll find something else to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I think I guarantee that Hamilton and Verstappen collide if they were on the front row of the grid and he was in Sainz's position. I just know it 100%. George Russell started 12th, finished 3rd.
I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for George. Really good race, but poor qualifying. He's got to be disappointed with that qualifying. And yeah, he's the fact that he's managed to get through the pack, starting behind Perez and beating him on the track, is very impressive. And yeah, a good solid performance from George to get a podium. So yeah, 8 out of 10.
I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for George. I think you can kind of overlook the qualifying in this particular instance because, I mean, you yourself said he beat Perez from the same position on the grid pretty much. So to do that in a Mercedes that was clearly nowhere near the level of that Red Bull and to pull off such amazing moves, of course, he had a moment where he thought it was raining as well. There was plenty about George Russell in this race. And he did a fantastic job. There was no safety cars or anything like that, and he finished 8 seconds behind his teammate after everything he had to go through and all of those overtakes he had to make. So I thought it was a brilliant performance from George, and I can't really fault him too much. I think to be finishing on the podium is an unbelievable result for him. So yeah, 9 out of 10. Okay, we now go to Carlos Sainz. Started 2nd, finished 5th. I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Carlos. Very strong qualifying, as it always bloody is with Ferrari. And then it's, ha-ha, tyre wear, slow, we don't have the pace. Obviously lost out to Lewis at the start. And then it was literally just trying to cling on for dear life, really, for Carlos. Finishing 5th is, you know, decent result, decent points for the team. Obviously, you know, outpaced and destroyed Leclerc, if you want to put it that way, and you want to look at it on paper. Of course, we don't really know what was going on with Leclerc's car. But yeah, Carlos, 7 out of 10.
I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Carlos. I think it's really, yeah, brilliant qualifying to put it on the front row. And then he's driven the best he can in that Ferrari with their appalling tyre wear, which is just always going to be their Achilles heel, it seems, which is painful. But yeah, it's a very good drive from Sainz, one of the best in his Ferrari career, I think, especially when Charles had such a stinker of a race, but then we don't know. I'm sure we'll find out what the reasons were for that.
It is maybe. Ferrari, mate. We might not.
We are checking for a year and a half.
Absolutely. Let's speak about Charles Leclerc now then. Started from the pit lane and finished 11th.
I've gone for a 2 out of 10 for Charles Leclerc.
Bloody hell!
Just slow, wasn't he? Just couldn't get a point. I thought he'd have at least got a point.
Jesus Christ! I thought mine was going to be a bad... 2 out of 10!
Yeah. Well, he's qualified
last. Are you
last.
Mad?
What, why? He qualified last and he
was
terrible. Well, I mean, he could only do what he could. And a 2 out of 10, I mean, what? He should have got a point, surely, in a Ferrari.
That doesn't warrant a 2? That's like Logie Sarge levels.
Yeah, but Logie Sarge driving a Williams.
Is that all of your explanation done?
Yeah. It is a really poor weekend for him.
Okay. All right. We'll just ignore everything that you've just said. I'm going to go with a 4 out of 10 for Charles Leclerc. Very, you know, an unknown issue in qualifying, which I'm just going to take that as gospel because it's Charles Leclerc in qualifying. He doesn't get knocked out in Q1 unless there's a problem. And then, yeah, obviously didn't make much headway in the race, but still finished 11th from starting in the pit lane. Was very much, you know, screwed over by Ferrari's strategy as well. Why they're putting him on hards to only allow him to go 16 laps and then sticking him on the softs and then back on the hards, even though he asked for the softs again and they didn't put the softs on the car. His pace was all right on the hards at the end, but he asked for something different and wasn't given it. So yeah, 4 out of 10. Cannot believe you've given him a 2. It's almost like I am Charles Leclerc. Yeah. I am insulted by that. But yeah, still a weekend to forget for Charles, and still, yeah, also can't believe he didn't score points. So yes, pain. Sergio Perez started 11th, finished 4th. I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Perez. I think, you know, obviously it was a poor qualifying, didn't manage to really do a huge amount in that, but then again it's these certain drivers that for whatever reason couldn't grasp the greasy conditions, and yeah, very poor. Made up back to 4th, should have been on the podium. I can't give him any more than a 7, maybe even should be a 6, but I've stuck with 7 for now because he still finished 4th, and yeah, a difficult race and a difficult weekend again for Perez.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Perez as well. Yeah, poor qualifying. This was the race that he needed to kind of bounce back after Monaco and go, no, I can still challenge Max, and then to get knocked out and then just not make it through the field like we've seen Max do when he's been the one that's, you know, scuppered in qualifying. So you can't really give him anything lower than a 7 for finishing 4th. But I do agree somewhat with Nico Rosberg, you know, saying 4th, you know, he should be making his way to 2nd, 3rd. He's in a car that his teammate is just making it look like a rocket ship and a league of its own. So yeah, 7 out of 10 for Perez.
Okay, we now go to Max Verstappen. Started 1st, finished 1st.
I've gone for a 10 out of 10, unsurprisingly. It's the biggest 10 out of 10. I mean, what more can you say? Fastest in FP1, FP2, FP3, quali, race, fastest lap. You know, even the fastest lap, he was there and his team said, don't go for fastest lap because Perez has got had fresh softs on. He'd managed to get DRS and Max went, all right, okay, and then went 3/10 quicker. He's just unbelievable at the moment. And of course, he's got a very, very good car, but then his teammate is showing that, you know, it's not always plain sailing. So the fact that he's just absolutely walked it shows that he is just in unbelievable form. And yeah, 40 race wins now is insane.
Certainly is. I've also gone for a 10 out of 10, unsurprisingly. I was actually looking to see who was fastest in Q1, but it wasn't Verstappen,
which is
really annoying because that would have been the entire clean sweep. Fastest in FP1, FP2, FP3, and then I was hoping for Q1, Q2, Q3 for, you know, just to, for it all to fit in nicely. Yeah. But no, he's washed. So maybe a 9 out of 10 for that. But no, what can you say? The man and the machine are one. I posted that whole, the fact that he was fastest in almost everything, and people are like, yeah, the car's great, isn't it? It's like, he is so far clear of Perez this weekend. The fact that he was able to get fastest lap after being told by his team, no, Perez did a 16.6 with DRS on a fresh set of softs, and he's gone, ha, okay, and then put in a 16.3 on more used softs without DRS. He is unbelievable. Genuinely, that it's hard and it's sad to see him so far clear of everyone else, but you have to also admire what he's doing in that car. Yes, Formula One is all about the car. Well done. Welcome. You know, people that go, it's all about the car. Yes, it is. It's always been about the car in Formula One. The driver makes a difference, but it's about the car usually. And he is, doing an incredible job, just like Hamilton did in the Mercedes era, using exactly what he's got underneath him, and it's perfection, really. So Max Verstappen, 10 out of 10, well done. I'm not just saying that because I'm wearing a Red Bull hoodie. As you'll know, I'm just loading up to eventually jinx them at one point during the year, and then everyone will thank me when we don't get a complete clean sweep for Red Bull this year.
Absolutely. Now it's time to crown P1. I forgot to write it in the sheet again.
Let's crown P1, Max Verstappen.
Yeah, the only one that got
10. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, Max.
So well done, Max. You did an amazing job. Slow down now, will you? Like, can he just wrap up the championship really early and then we get Danny Ric in that seat?
Yes, I'm sure Perez won't want that.
And then Danny Ric can take Verstappen's seat, and then he'll win everything. And then he'll finish third in the championship, and then Red Bull get a 1-2-3.
It's never been done. I've seen a lot of people saying that record. We'll find out.
That would be huge. Very great for Daniel Ricciardo fans.
And the rest of the field, if Max Verstappen's not driving. Because, look, it's all right saying, he's got the best car by a mile, but Perez hasn't finished second in every single race. So if Max wasn't there, we would have had different winners other than Red Bull, but
To maybe Alonso at Aston Martin. If Alonso wasn't Aston Martin, you may not have seen one podium for Aston. You've gone, they're a strong midfield car nowadays. The driver does make some bit of a difference. Anyway, that is it. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening to this Driver Ratings podcast. Let us know if you agree or disagree. I know that it is a great amount of controversy, some of our ratings that we give. I'm sure me giving Lando a 5 out of 10 is going to spark some debate, which is fine.
It's only an opinion.
It is an opinion. Everyone has them, and ours are correct. Well, mine are correct, because I can't believe you gave Charles Leclerc 2 out of 10. If you want to get involved in funniest tweets in a couple of weeks' time, hashtag P1. And also, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, please do. Let us know why, and we'll feature one of yours at some point in the near future. Lots of love. Take care. Adios. Enjoy a week off Formula One, especially if you're a McLaren or Ferrari fan, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
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 P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.